Guess it by the way he said it. Why, you could almost believe it was true. But true or not, the idea of a fort to sleep in, maybe some other runaways to hang out with, the idea of anything other than being left out here in the dark, alone, sounded good. You live there? Nick asked.
Yep.
Don't your parents care?
I don't have any parents.
Oh, Nick said. Me neither. Not anymore. A long silence hung between them. A fort, Nick said. And fairies and goblins, huh? Peter nodded and grinned. And Nick found himself grinning back. When asked, Peter said his fort lay that-a-way and pointed in the general direction of the New York Harbor. Nick guessed he must mean down toward the docks.
Come along, Peter said, pulling up his hood. You'll see.
So Nick followed Peter as they pushed their way through the dark Brooklyn neighborhoods, still taking care to avoid busy throughways or corners where teenagers were loitering about, but no longer dashing down side streets or hiding behind trees. Nick didn't feel a need to worry about Marco, not this far west, but couldn't help keeping an eye out for the green van. After a while, Nick began to relax, felt his step lighten, and realized that he was enjoying simply having someone to walk down the street with. He snuck several sidelong glances at the pointy-eared boy. There was something captivating about him, something about his strangeness, the wildness in his eyes that Nick found exciting. From his gestures to the odd way he was dressed, even in the way he bopped down the street so light on his toes, like some real cool cat, bold as brass, as though daring anyone to challenge his right to be there. Nothing escaped his attention, not a flittering gum wrapper, a cooing pigeon, or a falling leaf. And he was ever glancing up at the stars, as though making sure they were still there. He wasn't like other street kids Nick had seen. His clothes might have been worn and dirty, but he wasn't grimy. He was a bit nutty, sure, but he didn't seem strung out on anything, and his eyes were clear and sharp, even if they were gold. But though Peter felt like a friend, the best sort of friend, one you could count on to watch your back, Nick had to remind himself that he knew nothing about this weird boy and had to be careful. And there was something else, something below the contagious laugh and impish grins that nagged at Nick, something he couldn't put his finger on, something wicked, something dangerous. The smell of nectarines filled Nick's nose and his mouth began to water. He realized the smells were coming from the Chinese deli just ahead.
Hungry?
Peter asked. Nick realized he was, that he hadn't eaten since breakfast. He also remembered he didn't have any money.
Hold up, Peter said as he glanced up and down the street. You be the lookout, okay?
Lookout? Nick said. For what? But Peter had already entered the grocery. Nick didn't like where this was going. He tried to peer over the fruit stands to see what Peter was up to, but could only see the top of Peter's head bopping about inside the store. A few minutes later, Peter came strolling out with two plastic containers of steaming Kung Pao chicken, fried rice, egg rolls, and three sacks of candy bars, almost more than he could carry.
Here, help me with this, Peter said, handing Nick the candy bars.
Wait, Nick said.
You didn't.
We should probably skedaddle,
Peter interrupted, and headed away at a rapid clip. A second later, a plump, older Chinese man came skidding out of the grocery in his stained apron and yellow rain boots. The man looked at Nick, then at the sacks of candy bars. Nick heard the man say something under his breath, and even though it was Chinese, Nick had no trouble recognizing it as profanity. Then the man pointed at Nick and started yelling,
"Thief!"
over and over again, Nick broke and ran after Peter. Luckily for Nick, the old man's running was about as good as his English, and Nick put a block or two between them in no time. Nick found Peter waiting for him along a tree-lined street in front of a shadowy alleyway. Peter ducked into the alley, and Nick followed. Peter fell against some concrete steps and began to laugh. Laugh so hard he could barely speak.
"Hey, you did pretty good," he chuckled and patted Nick on the back.
"What the hell was that?" Nick cried. "We could have gotten in all kinds of trouble."
Nick felt his blood boiling. That had been stupid. The last thing he needed was the cops after him.
"It's not funny."
Peter pursed his lips, trying to stifle his mirth, but his eyes were positively giddy.
"Do you have any idea what they would have done to us if we'd been caught?"
Nick snapped. Peter shook his head.
"Why, they'd...
Nick stopped. Peter was trying so hard not to laugh, trying so hard to look serious, concerned, and sincere. Nick couldn't help but grin, and that was a mistake because when he did, a bellyful of laughter escaped from between Peter's lips.
"Aw, man, you spit all over me,"
Nick cried, wiping his face. But by then, they were both laughing, big belly laughs. And it was the moment Nick realized that he was having fun, that he was happy, and it had been a long time since he had been happy. They sat on the cold cement steps, eating stolen Kung Pao chicken and watching the clouds roll across a sky full of stars. Nick never remembered anything tasting so good. A sharp wind sent a host of orange leaves and loose paper clattering down the thin alleyway. Late evening dew shimmered off the sooty, graffiti-covered walls. The low hum of an electric transformer sputtered and buzzed incessantly, while somewhere in the distance, the Staten Island ferry blew its horn. Peter sighed.
"They're so beautiful."
"What?" Nick asked.
"The stars,"
Peter answered in a low, reverent tone, staring up at the night sky.
"I so miss the stars."
Nick thought this an odd thing to say, but then there were a lot of odd things about Peter. Peter tore open one of the bags of candy bars, grabbed a couple for himself, and handed a few to Nick. Nick noticed several scars on Peter's arms. There was also a scar above the boy's brow, a smaller one along his cheek, and what looked like a healed puncture on the side of his neck. Nick wondered just what kind of trouble Peter had been in.
"What are you going to do with all that candy?" Nick asked.
"For the gang," Peter said between chews. "Back at the fort."
"Is there really a fort?"
"Certainly."
"Peter, where are we going exactly?"
Peter started to say something, frowned, started to say something else, and stopped. Then his eyes twinkled.
"Hey, what's that?"
"What?"
"By your foot."
Nick didn't see anything. It was too dark.
"Is that a turd?"
Nick instinctively jerked his foot away.
"Where?"
Peter reached into the shadow and came up with a lumpy brown clump. He held it up.
"Yep, big greasy turd."
It didn't look like a turd to Nick. It looked suspiciously like a baby Ruth. Peter chomped down on it.
"Scrumptious!"
Nick snorted, then burst out laughing. Peter joined in between big, loud smacks. Nick found it easier and easier to laugh. Since his father's death, between moving to the new school and dealing with that fucker Marco, Nick felt he'd forgotten what it was like to be silly, to just be a kid.
"Hey,"
came a raspy voice from the shadows, followed by a fit of coughing.
"Hey, what are you guys up to?"
Nick and Peter looked at one another, then at the pile of boxes beside the dumpster. One of the boxes fell away, and a figure rolled out. Peter was instantly on his feet. The shape stumbled into the lamplight, and Nick saw it was a teenager, maybe a couple of years older than him. The kid's long blonde hair was greasy and matted, and he was wearing just jeans and a ratty t-shirt.
You guys spare some change?
The kid said, his words slurry and spaced out.
Need to make a phone call. Anything will help out. Huh? How about it?
Nick picked up the bags of candy bars and stood up.
Peter, Nick whispered, let's get out of here.
Hey, where are you going?
The kid tottered forward, put an arm out on the stair rail, blocking their way. Up close, Nick could see cold sores on the boy's lips and how bloodshot his eyes were. The kid was so skinny he had to keep tugging at his jeans. The kid spied the candy bars in Nick's arms.
Hey, how about you give me some of those?
These aren't for you, Peter said, his tone hard and cold.
The kid looked agitated, started scratching at his arms. Nick could see he had the shakes. The kid looked at them again and actually focused.
What are you guys doing out here?
He took a quick glance around.
You alone?
Nick didn't like the way his tone changed and tried to get around him. The kid made a grab for the chocolates, snagged a bag, yanking it from Nick's arms. Peter let out a hiss and in a mere blink had a knife in his hand. The damn thing was almost as long as Peter's forearm.
Whoa, where did that come from?
Peter rolled the blade, letting the streetlight dance along its razor-sharp edge, making sure the kid saw its wicked promise.
Give 'em back, Peter said.
Yeah, okay,
the kid said.
Take 'em.
He tossed the bag to Nick, raised his hands and took several unsteady steps backward until he hit the alley wall.
I ain't got nothing else. Go ahead, shake me down. I ain't got nothing.
And then, low to himself,
nothing.
His shoulders drooped and his hands fell. Nick thought he looked worn out, defeated, alone. Another strung-out junkie with no place to go and no one to care. Nick wondered what had made this kid leave home, wondered how long before he found himself in the same spot, alone, with nothing.
Let's go, Peter said, stuffing the knife back in his jacket and heading toward the street.
Nick grimaced. Growing up can really suck, he thought. And bad things sure as shit do happen to good people, and for the most part, the world just doesn't give a crap.
He reached into the bag of chocolates, pulled out a handful, and left them on the steps.
Here, those are yours.
Then he sprinted off to catch up with Peter.
With the exception of a few pubs and late-night restaurants, the shops had all closed up. They passed a bar, and Nick stole a quick peek inside, caught sight of sullen, tired faces, the smell of cigarettes and beer, the clinking of glasses and strained laughter as men and women went about the business of putting the long, hard work week behind them. Next door, in front of Antonio's Camping and Sporting Goods, Nick stopped suddenly and peered into the display window. Peter came up next to him.
What is it?
Nick stared at the green and black checkered Vans propped against a skateboard.
The shoes? Peter asked.
Nothing, Nick said, but his eyes didn't leave the shoes.
You want those?
Nick nodded absently. Peter disappeared around the side of the building. Nick took a last longing look at the shoes and followed. He turned the corner, but Peter wasn't there. Nick glanced across the weedy lot and caught sight of a bearded man leaning against a paunchy woman near the rear entrance of the bar. Her blouse was undone and one of her breasts had escaped her bra, hanging down nearly to her navel. The two of them giggled as the man pawed it like a cat toy.
Jesus,
Nick said and watched, mesmerized, until a sharp clank drew his attention. It came from behind the dumpster next to the sporting goods shop. He peered around the dumpster. Peter had managed to tug one steel bar from the crumbling masonry of a basement window well and was using that bar to pry loose a second.
What the hell are you doing?
Peter grunted, and the last bar popped off with a loud clang.
Bingo!
Nick ducked down, peeked back toward the pub. The bearded man still groped the woman. Another man had stumbled outside, puking. None of them were looking their way. Peter gave the pane a nudge with his foot and it popped open. The basement was a well of darkness. Peter looked up at Nick.
Well?
Well, what? Nick said.
Are you going to get those shoes or not?
Nick took a quick step back as though from a viper.
Are you kidding me? That's breaking and entering.
A look of deep disappointment crossed Peter's face. Nick was surprised to find this bothered him, that he cared at all what this wild kid thought.
I'm not scared if that's what you're thinking, Nick said, a bit too quickly. I'm no thief, that's all. I mean, that's... Nick, don't let them win. Don't let them beat you.
What?
Don't let them steal your magic.
Magic? What did magic have to do with breaking into someone's store and stealing their stuff?
Don't you get it? Peter said. You're free now. You don't have to live by their rules anymore.
Peter pointed into the inky blackness of the basement.
The darkness is calling. A little danger. A little risk. Feel your heart race. Listen to it. That's the sound of being alive. It's your time, Nick. Your one chance to have fun before it's all stolen by them. The adults, with their cruelty and endless rules, their can't do this and can't do that, their have-tos and better-dos, their little boxes and cages all designed to break your spirit, to kill your magic.
Nick stared down into the dark basement.
What are you waiting for?
Peter said, giving him a devilish grin, before disappearing through the window.
What am I waiting for? Nick wondered. What's ahead for me? Even if I could go home, what then? Graduate? Get some crappy job so that I can spend every weekend trying to drink it all away? Puking in a parking lot? Or playing fiddle boobs with some skank?
He shook his head. Peter was right. If he didn't live now, right this minute, then when? Too much of his youth had already been stolen. Why should he let them take any more? Maybe it was time to do a little taking of his own. Nick took a deep breath and lowered himself through the window. He swung his leg about in the darkness until his foot hit a box, dropped onto the box, and promptly crashed over onto the floor. Something hit the floor and shattered.
Crap,
Nick said, and sat there a long moment, heart in his throat, waiting for the alarms and sirens, the lights, the dogs, the Gestapo. When nothing happened, he climbed to his feet. The basement smelled of mildew, dust, and old cardboard.
Where's Peter?
Nick noticed a weak light coming from the top of a narrow staircase. Hands out, he made his way, adrenaline pumping through his every fiber, heart beating louder with each step
I hear it, Peter, he whispered and grinned. The sound of being alive.
The street lights poured in through the display window, dousing the jerseys, bats, balls, and bikes in a soft bluish glow. No sign of Peter. He crept by the Little League plaques and trophies, going right past the cash register. Nick knew stores didn't keep money in their registers at night, and even if they had, this wasn't about money. He wasn't here to steal, at least not like that. This was different somehow. It was about taking back, about control, maybe. The need to be steering his own fate for once, for better or worse. Nick peered over the racks of jerseys and warm-up suits, searching for Peter's nest of wild hair. He didn't find the golden-eyed boy, but found shoes, a whole wall of them. He passed up the court shoes with their springs, gels, pumps, glitter, and glitz, what the boys at his school liked to refer to as dunkadelic, until he zeroed in on a certain green and black checked pattern.
Bingo, he said, just like Peter had.
He allowed himself a moment to enjoy the sight, then scanned the boxes for a size 9. He found a 10, several 13s, a 7, a 6, but no 9s. His brow tightened.
Oh, be here, be here, be here, be here.
A grin lit his face. There.
Yes!
He snatched up the box, but didn't open it. Not right away. He just held it, cherishing the moment like a Christmas present you were finally allowed to open. Nick slowly lifted the lid, enjoyed the pungent smell of rubber and glue, then slid the shoes out, holding them up into the light.
Sweet,
he exhaled, chucking the box and dropping down onto a bench. He tugged off his bargain bin specials, stared at the cracked, peeling rubber and frayed stitching. They reminded him of his mother, his cheap-ass mother. He slung them against the wall. He had the Vans laced and on his feet in no time and was up bouncing on his toes, checking himself out in the mirror. Nick froze. There, behind him in the mirror, a pale, haunted face watched him from the shadows, watched him like a cat watches a mouse.
So much joy over a pair of shoes, Peter thought, and felt the sting of jealousy as Nick's simple joy made him aware of all he'd lost.
He had to remind himself that soon shoes would be the last thing on Nick's mind. Nick started and jerked around.
Shit, man, you scared the piss out of me.
Killer shoes, Peter said, putting on his best smile.
Nick studied Peter for a moment, then glanced down at his shoes. He licked his finger and touched the laces, making a sizzling noise.
Watch out, man, Nick said, grinning. I'm lethal in these babies.
Peter laughed.
Hey, man, check this out.
Nick stepped over to a rack of skateboards, snatched one up, and dropped it on top of his shoe, flipping it onto its wheels with a flick of his foot.
Slick, huh?
Peter nodded.
Out of the way,
Nick said, hopping on the board, kicking hard, and shooting down the long center aisle. He kicked the tail of the board, catching some air, but when the board landed, the back end slid out on the slick linoleum, sending Nick into a rack of men's sweats, taking the entire rack down right on top of him. Nick's head popped up between the hangers and sweats, looking disoriented and embarrassed. Peter let loose a howl of laughter.
Impressive!
Nick frowned.
Oh yeah? Let's see what you got.
Oh, you want me to show you how it's done? Is that it? Why, I'm the skateboard king.
Peter snatched up one of the boards. He'd never ridden a skateboard before,
But if this kid could do it, he most certainly could. He dropped the board on the floor and set his foot on the deck, shoving off with his other foot, kicking hard like he'd seen Nick do. The board wobbled and he wheeled his arms for balance as he careened straight toward Nick.
"Gangway!"
Peter cried, fighting for control. Nick's face changed from mirth to panic as he scrambled out of the way. Peter tried to swerve, lost control, and landed hard on his butt. The board shot out from under him like a missile, slamming into the leg of a nearby mannequin. The mannequin toppled and the head bounced down the aisle and landed right in Nick's lap, its charming face smiling blissfully at Nick. Nick stared back in astonishment, then up at Peter, and both cracked up.
"Oh my God,"
Nick wheezed.
"Oh man, that's the craziest thing ever."
He got to his feet, holding the head, took aim at a row of basketball hoops, and shot. The head bounced off the backboard but completely missed the rim and net. Nick raised both fists in the air.
"He shoots! He sucks! The crowd pisses their pants!"
He did a little foot dance, kicked his skateboard back out into the aisle, hopped on, and raced away. Up and down the aisle he went, doing spins and hops, sliding, skidding, and carving his way around the displays. Peter got up, rubbing his butt. He gave his skateboard a disdainful look.
"That one's defective."
"Yeah, right."
Peter frowned, grabbed another skateboard from the rack, scrutinizing it before setting it on the floor. Nick zipped past, laughing hysterically, almost knocking him over. Peter hopped on his board and raced after him, wobbling and fighting to keep the board from flipping out from under him. Nick cut sharp, wheeled the board around in front of the entrance. Too late to stop, Peter crashed right into Nick, slamming the boy into the door. The impact shook the entire storefront, and an alarm began to blare.
"Oh shit!"
Nick shouted over the noise.
"We gotta get out of here!"
Nick tried to open the door. It was locked. He slapped the door in frustration and tried to yank it open. No luck.
"We have to go back through the basement! Quick!"
"No, we don't!"
Nick looked at Peter, confused. Peter pointed at a swirly pink bowling ball sitting in the display window. It took Nick a moment to get it.
"Oh no!"
he called, shaking his head.
"We can't do that!"
Then a spark lit in his eyes. Peter knew the look well. They all got it once they truly realized they were free. Nick hefted the ball, locked his eyes on the big display window, his mouth tightened into a hard line. Peter saw the anger, the hostility, and knew this was about more than getting out of the store, more than an act of vandalism or simple mischief. This went far deeper. Nick needed to strike out, to break out. Nick was like so many of the runaways he'd encountered, too many years of being bullied and mistreated, of being stifled and ignored. They just needed someone to show them how to let it out. And once it was out, once he'd taken them that far, the rest was easy. After that, they'd follow him anywhere.
"Give it to him, Nick!"
Peter cried.
"Give him the big fuck you!"
Nick gritted his teeth, snarled, and hurled the ball like a shot put.
"Fuck you!"
he screamed.
"Fuck all of you!"
The ball smashed through the plate glass, shattering it into 1,000 glittering shards.
"Yee-haw!"
Nick screamed over the warbling alarm. The ball bounced onto the sidewalk and rolled into the street, picking up speed as it headed down the sloping avenue.
"After it!"
Nick cried, snatching up his skateboard and leaping heedlessly across the broken glass. Peter couldn't have grinned any wider.
"He's mine."
He snatched up his own board and caught up with Nick in the middle of the street. A host of men and women had come out from the bar to see about all the commotion, some so drunk they could barely stand. Nick grinned at them savagely, raised both hands in the air, and gave them the double bird.
"Fuck the world!"
he screamed.
"Fuck the world!"
The crowd raised their bottles and returned the salute.
"Fuck the world!"
Peter turned his head to the sky and howled, basking in the spreading madness, aware that sometimes even these dull-eyed adults could let loose, could remember.
"The ball went that way,"
Nick cried, slapping his foot atop his board and kicking off down the hill. Peter let out one last hoot, hopped on his board, and, fighting for control, chased after Nick.
"It's a good night. A very good night. Can't remember a better one in the last 100 years.
Chapter 3. Mist.
"Where to?" Nick asked Peter.
"To Crazy Town,"
Peter howled and wobbled past.
"To Crazy Town,"
Nick cried and took off after him. They raced down the street, knocking over garbage cans and setting off car alarms, yowling and laughing, setting the dogs to barking all up and down the street. The cool fall air filled Nick's lungs, blew the hair from his face. His heart raced, his body flushed with adrenaline, excitement, and the sheer joy of abandonment, of freedom like he'd never known in his life. Thoughts of Marco, his mother, all the bullshit felt a million miles away. The neighborhoods fell behind, replaced by warehouses and industrial buildings, the steady incline leading them toward the docks. They saw no more headlights or any other signs of people. Nick felt as though they were the only two souls left in the world, and he wished it would never end. As they neared the harbor, the fog thickened, seemed almost alive the way it swirled and snaked around them. Peter stopped and stuffed the chocolates into his bag. In addition to the knife, Nick noticed a carton of cigarettes and several packs of gum. Peter kicked his skateboard into a ditch.
"Man, what are you doing? That's a killer board."
"Won't need it where we're going."
"What do you mean?"
Nick let out a weak laugh.
"The mist is here,"
Peter said, and looked Nick in the eye.
"This is the point of no return. The mist will take us to Avalon, a place where you never have to grow up. An island of magic and adventure. But there's danger and monsters. Nick, do you go willingly?"
Nick laughed. Yeah, sure, Peter."
"No, you have to say it."
"Say what?"
"Say, I go willingly."
Nick thought Peter was carrying this whole enchanted island thing a bit too far, but fine, he could play along.
"Okay, I go willingly."
Peter looked relieved.
"Then we go,"
he said, and they continued down the street. As the buildings and streetlights began to disappear behind the foggy veil, so did the sounds of the city, the chug of the tugboats, the occasional long, low horn blast from the ferries, all faded. Soon he no longer smelled the bay at all. The wind died and the air became stale. It smelled of the earth, of old things. The mist grew perceptually colder and brighter, as though glowing from its own radiance. And Nick finally admitted to himself that maybe things were getting weird, that maybe following a golden-eyed boy with pointed ears to a magical island might not have been the brightest idea.
Stay close, Peter whispered, and keep as quiet as you can. We don't want them to know we're here.
Nick couldn't imagine who else would be around here this time of night, but kept quiet just the same. They'd been in the fog for maybe 10 minutes when Nick's foot caught on something and he stumbled to the ground. He dropped his skateboard and his hands slid into wet, chalky earth, gray, the same color as the fog. Nick couldn't recall exactly when the pavement had given way to earth, but he wasn't particularly surprised. He'd figured Peter's fort would most likely be hidden in a dump or an abandoned lot around the shipping yards. But he was surprised when the dirt began to evaporate off his hands, drift away in smoking tendrils, as though it too were somehow part of the mist. Then he noted what he'd tripped over, a white shape with two large dark holes. Nick squinted, leaned forward, and realized he was staring into the eye sockets of a human skull. The skull lay half buried in the dirt, wrapped in the last remnants of worm-riddled flesh, dried and ashen. There was a knot of blonde, braided scalp still attached to the top of its head. He also saw what had to be an arm bone and a few smaller bones scattered about.
Holy crap! Nick said, scrambling to his feet. Peter, he whispered, fighting to control his fear.
Peter had disappeared.
Peter!
He hissed again.
Where'd he go?
He glanced around. No Peter, nothing but the same dull, shifting grayness everywhere. Nick had no clue which direction he'd come from or was heading to. His breath quickened. He felt the mist was caving in on him, like he would suffocate, like he was being swallowed.
Peter,
he called, a little louder this time, then louder.
Peter!
He knew he was losing control, knew he might start screaming at any second. Peter materialized out of the fog.
I told you to stay close, Peter said harshly.
Peter, there are bones, human bones. What is going?
Peter snapped a finger to his lips.
Shh! They will hear us.
Peter's eyes were deadly serious, and his look sobered Nick up.
Who are they?
Nick mouthed, suddenly very alarmed. But Peter didn't answer. He only beckoned with quick, sharp gestures for Nick to follow. Nick had no intention of going another step into this ghostly wasteland. But as the mist closed in around him, seemed to actually touch him, caressing and slithering along his skin, the touch cold and clammy, as Peter's back began to fade and Nick realized he would be alone again, his resolve evaporated, and he sprinted forward to catch up. Nick stuck as close to Peter as he could and kept a careful watch where he stepped in case there were more bones. And, of course, there were more bones, many more bones, and not just bones. He saw helmets, swords, and shields, most looking as though they dropped in straight from the Crusades. He almost stepped on a flintlock pistol and noticed the moldering remnants of a three-cornered hat, what Nick thought of as a pirate hat. A bit farther on, he saw a skeleton with thin, leathery flesh clinging to its frame. It clutched a canteen in one hand and wore the tattered trappings of a British redcoat. A few hundred feet away lay the remains of a man in a dusty Civil War uniform, the soldier's rotten hands still dug at his eyes. Then Nick saw the Nike high top, and his blood went cold. It was just sitting by itself. Nick couldn't take his eyes off it, so was taken by surprise when his foot stumbled on something soft. He halted and found he was standing on a boy's arm, his shoe sinking into the soft, pliable flesh. Nick staggered back.
Oh, Christ! Oh, good Lord!
Nick put a fist to his mouth and bit hard. The dead boy looked to be about his age, but it was hard to tell, because his skin was parched and peeling away. The kid's eyes were wide open, his mouth a big, hollow O. Nick had no problem reading the terrified expression frozen forever on that face. It mirrored his own.
Maybe if I scream, Nick thought, maybe then I'll wake up back in my bed, and maybe I'll hear Marco and his asshole friends screwing around downstairs, and I won't care, because anything will be better than wandering around out here stepping on dead kids.
But Nick didn't scream, because he didn't really believe this was a dream. This was real, every bit of it. He knew if he screamed, they, whatever they were, would hear.
Peter,
he whispered. Peter kept walking. Peter, he called. I want to go back. To Nick's alarm, his voice carried, not just echoing, but actually rolling across the mist as though the mist itself was carrying it along. Peter turned, his face horrified. And that was when Nick heard the voices, soft and far away at first, but quickly moving closer. The light calls of children, sweet chorus of women, and deep baritone of men. Laughing and gay, as though they were all on their way to a summer picnic. But behind these, or maybe within, he heard wailing, a sad, terrible keening. The hair on the back of his neck stood up.
They found us, Peter said, his voice dead as stone.
Found us? Who's found us?
Nick, Peter said, his words quick and urgent. No matter what you hear, no matter what you see, ignore them, avoid their eyes, and whatever you do, don't dare speak to them.
Peter glanced into the fog.
If you lose the path, Nick, your bones will never leave the mist.
Nick's mind was one big, what the fuck? Then he caught movement. The mist had begun to stir. Shadows, mere shades of gray on gray, began to swim around them, some hulking and sluggish, almost lumbering, others small and fleet as sparrows, most just furtive wisps of indefinable vapor. Their whispers and calls echoed around them, crawled right into Nick's head. Nick glanced at Peter. Peter kept his eyes directly forward and marched onward at a quick, steady clip. Nick gritted his teeth, balled his hands into fists, and clamped them tightly to his chest. He tried to slow his breathing.
Don't fall behind. Whatever you do, don't fall behind.
He picked up his pace, keeping tight to Peter's heels. The mist next to him began to swirl, almost to boil, until the shape of a woman formed, her skin pale and shimmering. She smiled at him demurely, floating along, twirling and rolling. The tendrils of her gown and hair trailed out behind her as though in an underwater ballet. Nick struggled not to look into her eyes, but felt powerless to do anything but, and when he did, he saw that she was beauty itself. She began to sing to him. He couldn't understand the words, but he recognized the tune. The same lullaby mothers have been singing to their children for thousands of years. It promised to keep him safe and warm. It promised an eternity of maternal love. She stretched her arms, beckoning him to her. It would be all over if he went to her. Part of him knew this, the part that was screaming somewhere deep inside to stay on the path. The rest of him knew this too, but thought it was okay, because it would be such a sweet death. Cradling him in her loving embrace, she would rock him, soothe him. All his fears, all the bad things would simply drift away forever. Nick found himself wishing for nothing more.
Peter's voice came from somewhere far away, little more than an echo.
Stay with me!
And a face, the terrified face of the boy, the one in the high tops, flashed in Nick's head. He blinked and forced himself to tear his eyes away from the woman.
Where's Peter?
Nick saw only a vague silhouette in front of him.
Is that him? How'd I fall so far behind?
He noticed sheets of mist drawing together like curtains, as though trying to build a wall between them. Panicked, Nick sprinted forward, stumbling across the soft, undulating surface, almost knocking Peter over when he caught up.
Hang on,
Peter whispered.
You're doing good.
Doing good?
Nick wanted to scream.
Doing good at what? What is going on? What the fuck is going on?
The woman continued to float alongside of him, her face now mournful. Crazily, Nick found himself feeling regretful. Then she raised her arms above her head as though entering a swan dive, arching her back, snaking her body through the smoky tendrils of mist. Suddenly, Nick was very aware of how full her breasts were, discovered he could see the shape of her large dark nipples beneath the thin veil of her gown and the dusky shadow between her legs. A warm tingling sensation began to grow in his crotch. Nick felt his face flush and glanced away. When he did, he caught sight of something out of the corner of his eye.
A tail?
He blinked. She had a long, scaly tail. She also had scales on her arms, small and delicate, and her fingers were long and claw-like. He squinted.
Oh, good God, he thought. Her hair. Her hair is full of worms.
No, her hair was worms. Thousands of tiny, squirming worms. Nick jerked back and almost fell over. She scowled, dark and angry. Her eyes shrank to mere slits, her nipples stretched into long antennae. Her belly opened up into a gaping maw, and Nick saw row after row of jagged little teeth.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!
A sound came out of that mouth, like a thousand angry hornets, and she came for him. Nick screamed and crumpled to the ground, arms out, watching helplessly as she fell upon him, watching as her huge mouth, a mouth easily as tall as himself, engulfed him.
So this is how I will die, he thought.
But no jagged teeth tore into his flesh. All he felt was a blast of cold air as she passed through him. It took him a moment to realize that he was still alive.
Peter, where's Peter?
He thought he saw a shape plodding away from him. Was that Peter, or another trick of the fog?
Peter!
He screamed and scrambled to his feet. Now there were three different shapes, each heading in a different direction.
Peter!
He shrieked. Then an inner voice, the one from deep inside of him, said,
Stop wasting your breath. Think.
Nick stopped, concentrated, tried to clear his mind.
Footprints. Find his footprints.
They were there, the faintest trace disappearing as the moist earth rapidly filled them in. Nick gritted his teeth and ran in their direction. And just ahead was Peter, not another illusion, but truly Peter.
Peter!
Nick raced forward and grabbed Peter by the shoulder.
Wait for me!
He screamed.
Why won't you wait for me?
Steady, Peter said, not losing a step. Have to keep steady or all is lost.
Nick clutched Peter's jacket, twisting his hand in the fabric, wishing he could close his eyes and make them all go away.
They came.
Dozens, then hundreds. All shapes and sizes, filling the air with their screams, laughter, wails, and cries. A swarm of disembodied heads flew past, singing. A host of naked old women with large, saggy breasts skipped merrily around, holding hands and laughing through wide, toothless grins. A throve of tiny children with grasshopper bodies buzzed insistently. All manner of hungry-looking beasts with sharp teeth and claws stalked alongside them, and small, shadowy men with protrusive blank eyes and bird beaks danced wildly.
"What are they?"
Nick cried between clenched teeth.
"What is going on?"
A short time ago, he'd been eating Chinese food in the middle of Brooklyn. How could he now be lost in a fog with these horrors?
"Things like this can't really happen."
He felt their wispy fingers crawling through his hair, his clothes, over his mouth and eyes. A little girl's face shot up to him, her eyes black holes, her mouth frozen in a scream that made no sound. She just hung there, staring at him. He tried to wave her away, but every time his hand went through her, she just giggled while wearing that horrible scream, giggled until he thought he'd go crazy.
"Oh, God,"
he cried.
"I can't do this. Not any longer."
He needed to run. He didn't care where to. He just had to run. "If you run, you will die," came the familiar voice. Calm but stern, it was his voice, his inner self, the boy that had been through his share of hard times and had managed to keep it together. And how had he done that? How had he dealt with watching them shovel dirt onto his father's casket? How had he dealt with hearing his mother cry herself to sleep night after night? How had he put up with the bullshit at school, the endless taunts and bullying, and Marco fucking with him every day? He'd simply withdrawn deep within himself, pretended as though all the bad things were happening to someone else and that he was just along for the ride. And this had always got him through. It didn't make it okay. It didn't make the hurt any less painful later, but it got him through. And right now, he just needed to get through. So Nick went there now, to his safe place, and watched the show from afar. And from afar, it was clear that the mist was all noise and bluster, merely trying to scare him, confuse him, drive him from the path. Nick looked through the mist, locked his eyes on Peter's back, kept them there, and plodded onward, steady. Soon the voices began to fade. The mist settled down, returned to a state of placid, endless gray. And not long after that, he smelled the sea again, felt a breeze, heard the lapping of waves. Finally, the mist thinned, and Nick could just make out a shadowy bank against a starless night sky. Nick stumbled to his knees and planted both hands on the wet beach, clutching the sand to steady himself. He took in a deep gulp of air, like a surfacing swimmer, and tried not to scream, tried not to think about them. What the hell had that been? He clenched his eyes shut, but there was no hiding from what he'd seen.
"What was that?"
Nick said in a harsh whisper and looked up at Peter. Peter wore a grin from ear to ear.
"You did great!"
Nick glared at Peter.
"What the hell was that?"
"The mist," Peter said, as though nothing could be more obvious or natural. Nick waited for more, but Peter just stood there wearing that stupid grin. Nick glanced over his shoulder, back into the swirling mist, wondering if it would follow, would come after him. Those things. What were those things? What were those fucking things out there?
Mist spirits.
Mist spirits?
Yep, the Slua.
Nick realized this was going nowhere. He pushed to his feet and clenched his fist,
He wanted to punch the pointy-eared kid, wanted to beat that smug little smile into his face, had never wanted to hit someone more in his life. Peter took a step back, looking perplexed.
You tricked me! Nick shouted. You jerkass! You knew about that crap and didn't tell me!
Not true, Peter stated like a trial lawyer. I specifically asked if you were ready to enter the mist. And you said, Peter mimicked Nick's voice, I go willingly. Nick glared at Peter.
You know what I mean. You didn't tell me about all that crap out there, about those things.
And what? Spoil a surprise?
Stop being a fucking wise ass, Nick cried. I saw a dead boy out there. Why are there dead people out there?
Peter's face clouded, and he looked away. If I'd fallen behind, would I still be out there, wandering around, screaming your name until I died?
Yes.
Nick stared at Peter, stunned, a forgotten word still on his lips. He turned his back on the boy, eyeing the mist, watching it the way you'd watch a dog you know will bite.
I had to stay the course, Peter said. I did what I could for you, but if I'd wavered, if I'd hesitated or strayed from the path, all would have been lost. And Nick, you really did do well. The mist isn't an easy path to walk.
Nick whirled.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
Peter's jaw tightened.
It's a good idea to keep your voice down or the flesh eaters will hear.
He peered intently down the shoreline. Nick followed Peter's gaze.
Flesh eaters?
He studied the jagged shadows and twisted terrain lining the beach. It didn't look like any place he'd ever seen. He shuddered. Just why had the pointy-eared boy brought him here?
Peter, where are we, really?
Peter's playful smile returned, and his voice fairly danced with mischief.
Oh, there's lots to see, lots to do. Adventure awaits. Follow me and I'll show you.
Nick shook his head. No, Peter, I'm not about...
Shh!
Peter jabbed a finger to his lips, his face suddenly hard, squinting into the dark.
The flesh eaters, they're coming. Time to go.
Nick crossed his arms. I'm not going anywhere with you. Peter shrugged, turned, and headed quickly up the beach toward the woods. Nick stood alone, staring down the dark shore.
Bullshit, he whispered. It's all bull.
He caught movement far down the beach, several hunched shapes picking their way toward him.
Oh, shit.
He glanced at the mist, at its swirling tendrils.
Fuck.
He kicked the sand and, to his horror, found himself hustling up the beach after the pointy-eared boy. Peter put a finger to his lips. This time, Nick didn't have to be told twice. He got quiet, dead quiet, barely daring to breathe as they pushed their way up the muddy path and into the trees. The woods were still and silent. No creaking insects, no croaking frogs, as though the very land was dead. The heavy silence amplified their every step as the mud sucked at their feet. They plodded onward, snaking their way around weedy bogs, sinkholes, and across a few shallow, slow-running creeks. The air was heavy with the smell of stagnant water, mud, mold, and decay. The overcast sky provided only a faint greenish glow to help Nick stumble his way over the roots, rocks, and brambles. He could just make out the tortured shapes of the trees looming above them. Their leafless branches, like tormented hands, seemed to be reaching for him as they passed. Nick did his best to avoid touching the trees as their bark felt soft, yielding,
more like flesh than bark. A low bellow rolled out from the woods ahead of them. Peter ducked down against the twisted trunk of a fallen tree, and Nick slipped up next to him. Both boys peered through the tangle of roots, searching the shadows ahead. From somewhere behind them came another bellow.
Bargast,
Peter whispered, and slid out his long knife.
Bargast?
Nick thought. Okay, great, flesh eaters, now Bargast. What the hell's a Bargast? In a clearing not 20 yards up the trail, Nick spotted a pair of orange glowing eyes. A dark, hunched shape about the size of a wolf crept out of the shadows. It crawled on all fours, stood up on its hind legs, and began to sniff the air. From behind them came the slapping of feet tracking through mud. The sound grew steadily closer. Nick allowed himself to slowly turn his head and saw another set of eyes moving their way. He instinctively pressed himself further into the overhanging roots and ground his teeth as he fought the urge to cut and run. The dark shape moved past them, sliding by so close that Nick could have reached out and touched it, so close that he could actually smell it, a musty smell like an old wet carpet. The shape joined with the other in the clearing, and a moment later a third arrived. One by one, all three of them turned their orange eyes toward Nick. Cold mud oozed between Nick's fingers as he clutched the wet earth, afraid to even blink. Somewhere far away, another howl echoed across the swamp, almost human. All three of the shapes tilted back their heads and answered, and Nick felt the sound in his very bones.